Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Network. Tonight we will be gracing your ears with our retrospective of Backlash 2004. Also, we got a lot of big news this week. Vince kind of massacred half of his roster. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of big releases. Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mojo Rawley. Big names gone. Now everyone thinks they might go to AEW, so we got a lot to talk about here. A little bit of a WrestleMania recap we can put in the beginning, and we're going to finish it off with Backlash 2004 this week on Unscripted Wrestling. That was quick. All right, welcome to the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network and Everything Unscripted and all that shit, Unscripted Wrestling. I'm your gracious, humble, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
And our good friend, Eric.
What's up?
What's up, homie? How you living?
Not much. Pretty good. How was your week, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Just waiting for Stevie, right?
Yeah,
I
was going to say, you posted in the group chat, right?
Yeah, I said showtime, Stevie.
All right, because I just heard my phone go off and I was going to go check it, but if
no,
it's you,
there.
No. All right, so Stevie's pay is getting docked.
We don't pay him.
Well, then it's going to get docked even more.
I was going to the negative. Who's our wrestler of the week, guys?
God, there were so many. My wrestler of the week, I'm going to say it's going to be Kushida. Shocked the world, cruiserweight title win.
Yeah. He was good this week. Who do you got, Eric?
I got Roman Reigns. I think he's...
Stevie, you got 30 seconds to call in or I'm knocking 100 points off your fantasy score.
Hey, heard you.
Here's Stevie now.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What up, Stevie?
Hey.
Good.
What's up, Steve? All right. Who is your wrestler?
We're talking about our wrestler of the week.
You got a wrestler of the week, Stevie?
A wrestler of the week.
Yeah, who impressed you this week?
I would have to say...
It's all good if you don't have anyone,
not,
do we?
I was
just going to say, if you can't think of anybody, it's okay. It's only an hour and a half show.
I know. It's all right.
It's all good, Stevie.
How are you feeling? You feel okay? A little better?
Yeah, I feel okay.
That's good.
All right, so you want to get into the news, Doug?
Sure. All right, so basically... This week's news, a couple of big news items. Obviously, the releases we'll talk about, but first I got to mess up. And Eric's, I'm guessing with Eric's response, he's not happy about this. Is Pat McAfee is going to be Michael Cole's new broadcast partner on SmackDown?
That came out of nowhere.
Well, it can't be Joe because obviously he's one of the releases. Corey Graves, like, they don't want anybody really doing two shows. And for God's sake, don't let it be Booker.
actually
I don't know who else he could have got, actually.
I mean, I'd rather Joe didn't leave the company and you could move him to SmackDown.
Well, yeah, that would be
ideal.
That would be the best. That would be ideal. But the thing is Pat McAfee also knows how to get heat. The problem is he doesn't know how to really call. Corey Graves at least knew how to call the holds, or knows how to call the holds.
Well, have we seen Pat on commentary?
All he does is talk shit about people. But he talks shit about everybody.
Was he a color guy in NXT, though? Or did he just, like, do it sometimes?
He was a color guy for the kickoff shows.
Oh, wow.
So, like, he's not really... I mean, and he's just very full of himself. Which, you know, a former NFL punter being full of himself. I mean, punters do nothing.
Still got a ring.
Okay. Yeah, but backups get rings, too, so.
Yeah, still got a ring.
I mean, punters do nothing. All they do is kick balls. Angry ex-girlfriends do the same fucking thing. So, like, Pat McAfee is just, I mean.
What if you're punting on fourth down and they like, position it the right way to where they hit the sidelines and the other team's got to start on the first or second yard line? And it really kind of hurts their position and getting more field position.
Shut up.
Okay. In that situation, a punt is very relevant, though, right?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
And fuck you.
I just like football.
Yeah, I know, I do too. I just can't. No, but anyway, so like him... So we'll see what happens tonight. I'm sure Michael Cole's going to have enough. Because Michael Cole actually doesn't like him.
Yeah, he yelled at him for wearing shorts at WrestleMania, right?
Or at some pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think it was WrestleMania, too. He wore cargo shorts, and he got yelled at.
Yeah. So Michael Cole can't stand the bastard, and he's got to be his new broadcast partner. All right. So there was that.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. Obviously, we got to talk about these releases. Nine people are gone. Mickie James, Billy Kay, Chelsea Green, Peyton Royce, which I know really pissed you the fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Then let's see, who else? Tucker, Mojo Rawley, Wesley Blake, Samoa Joe, and... The fuck was the ninth?
You said Billy Kay.
Yeah.
Was there a ninth?
Yeah, there was nine altogether. It was four women, right? Oh, Kalisto's gone.
Really? Oh, yeah. How can we forget about him? Seems like he's always released.
I have about...
No, that's in Clara.
I have about three different complaints here. The first one is Joe. Because, like, I mean, Joe wasn't working out in WWE. He was at commentary. He was great at commentary, but he's getting hurt a lot. He's getting older, so we weren't going to get the legendary WWE run from Samoa Joe that we wanted. It sucks. But he did do some good stuff there. He was in some good storylines. The one with AJ really stands out for me. And they were turning him into the next Taz. He was just going to be that tough color commentator. And that's fine, but I think he's got a little more left in the tank, so him leaving is probably a good thing, but WWE missed out because all the matches you could have got with Joe. Second is Peyton Royce, which is, to me, this is the biggest blunder. I would actually venture out to say fucking stupid, because she could be like the future of the women's division someday. And I've been saying that. First of all, Billie Kay, whatever, but you gave her a WrestleMania moment, so it still doesn't make sense. You had a tag team 2 years ago that in a weak tag team division for the female, you had a tag team that got heat, you know, maybe not the best in the ring, but the Iconics were something, and they never did anything with them. They had them have the belts for months without defending them, and now both girls are gone.
And also, too, you got to remember, with Peyton Royce, Vince split them up because he saw Peyton Royce as a big star.
Yeah, and she just – why does CM Punk get rewarded for throwing a pipe bomb and he gets this big Money in the Bank spot, wins the title? She does a pipe bomb, and it gets a bunch of buzz, by the way. She was the talk of wrestling for a good couple days after that Raw talk promo. And now she's gone. It's like, what the fuck? Like, I thought after that, they're like, all right, they're going to take it off now. Usually when someone does that, like a huge like moment, like they give them something. But now they gave her
more.
Makes no sense. Tucker is annoying, too, because you broke Otis and Tucker up to have nothing for either of them. And when you have a weaker tag team division, why not keep the good tag teams around? Why break them up just to have nothing to do with them and have to get rid of the guy? Mojo Rawley, good riddance. But Kalisto...
I thought he was already gone.
Kalisto, it was his time. You know, he's been there for a while and things. It's okay. But there's just a lot of bullshit here. Mickie James, it's okay. Her time has passed. She's spent a lot of good years with the company. And they weren't doing jack shit with her, so...
I mean, well, this was her second run. The only thing I think they were trying her out at NXT as like a color commentator, because she did color for the TakeOver kickoff shows last week.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought she did pretty good. So maybe she'll have like a future as a color commentator somewhere. But, you know, and Chelsea Green never really got her foot off the ground.
Yeah, they gave her a few things, and she was with Robbie E., right?
Yeah, well, the Robert Stone brand, and then they were going to move her to SmackDown. She broke her wrist her first night there. I mean, I personally think, because remember, yesterday was tax day. I personally think that Vince McMahon thought if he released people, that would count as paying his taxes. Because he's old enough and stupid enough to think so.
Yeah. I mean, it very well could have been. You know, does anyone else have any thoughts? Eric, what do you think about all this?
I think Peyton Ross, I thought she shouldn't say it. They shouldn't release her. So, I mean, that promo she cut was pretty good. And how she gets picked. Now she's paying the price for it, I guess.
So, you got to remember, too, there are other places for these people to go. Like, Peyton Royce is married to Sean Spears. So she'll probably end up in AEW.
And Chelsea Green...
Yeah, I think she would be good for that one.
With Cardona... So you either end up in Impact or Cardona, who's great friends with Cody, says, hey, she's actually a young, talented, you know, workhorse. Maybe you don't want me because we're friends, but why don't you take her? She's someone that can do something for your women's division. The Iconics are going to get back together and go to AEW, obviously. Samoa Joe either goes back to Impact for one final run or goes to AEW. Kalisto... Maybe goes back to Mexico, or does some stuff at AEW. But I don't know if AEW would want him,
unless they somehow found a way for him to start teaming with the Lucha Bros.
Yeah,
and the Lucha Bros and Pac.
I just feel like out of all the luchadors, Kalisto's always felt like a WWE guy for me. He's been there for a while.
He was WWE's watered down version of Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
When Rey Mysterio wasn't there.
Yes. And it never really worked. The stuff with Ryback was kind of okay.
I mean, the only thing he's really done lately has been every time Sasha Banks comes out of her locker room, he goes, ooh la la, looking at her ass. I mean, it's basically the same thing I've been doing, just, you know, watching her on my computer, except for, you know, actually, I'm not going to say that last line. I'm letting it go.
That's good. Is there any other news? Or?
There was. I forgot about it.
Any other news topics, Eric? I know. some stuff you wanted to talk about?
I can think of.
We covered it?
Yeah.
How about you, Stevie? You want to get in the backlash?
Yeah, let's get in the backlash.
All right, let's get in the backlash. This is a Raw only pay-per-view. Backlash 2004. This is about a month or 3 weeks or whatever the hell after WrestleMania 20.
About 34 days.
About 34 days after WrestleMania 20, which we have covered on the show. Check it out in the archives recently. And this is a big event. We have the infamous hardcore match between Randy Orton and Mick Foley, which is one of my favorite matches ever. And we have the rematch to the triple threat match. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit. This is a big pay-per-view. One of my favorite backlashes. To start things off here, the gate was 13,000 with a buy rate of 295,000. Business wasn't the hottest during this era, but it was still, you know, keeping up okay. We're in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada at the Rexall Place. Like I said, a Raw pay-per-view. Doug, going into this, give us a little background on some of the storylines and how you felt walking into this, watching it again yesterday.
Okay. So basically, Backlash has always been known as, okay, you're going to get the Backlash from WrestleMania. Okay? And so a lot of the feud that we're going to try to finish up from WrestleMania were taking place here. And so you had obviously the triple threat thing, the Randy Orton McFoley storyline. Edge was going to return to the ring for the first time in like 13, 14 months. Going to wrestle Kane. You had Shelton Benjamin, who was feuding with Evolution. You know, he was taking on Ric Flair. Eugene was part of this, but you had Victoria and Lita going at it after Lita won a number one contenders battle royal a few weeks prior, Tajiri and the coach, and you had the continuation of the Chris Jericho, Christian, Chris storyline, which, you know, was kind of I personally liked that storyline.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah. So, and they got some mileage out of it.
Yeah, we had a good amount of storylines for WrestleMania boil over. And it was still good, though.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is that, like, Backlash quite a few times has always, like, fallen flat.
Yeah.
Afterwards, like, when it started in 1999, that Backlash was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
And it was, like, Rock Austin rematch. Triple H and X-Pac had a good one. Undertaker and Shamrock had an absolute fucking war.
Yeah.
At that one. Then 2000, you know, the Rock Triple H thing.
One of my favorite matches.
Yes, which we might actually, we're still trying to decide whether or not we're covering that in 2 weeks. Just to let everybody know, just in case we forget to do the plugs at the end, there is no show next Friday night. As a matter of fact, there's no show next weekend at all.
Except for Mindy.
Well, yeah, Mindy's
taking a week off.
Yeah, of course, next Sunday, the 25th, there will be a Scaredy Cats podcast, but that's just because we're afraid to tell Mindy no. but, all right, so anyway, getting back, Backlash sometimes has fallen flat. Like, I know the 02 one was kind of meh, even though that had Hogan and Triple H. 03 was kind of just, you know, yeah. But like this one, 04 at least had a couple of good storylines heading into it to where like it could carry it.
Yeah. This is one of the pay-per-views though that I enjoyed the filler on here. Even some of the filler content that I really liked.
Raw always for some reason had better filler content on their pay-per-views than SmackDown did theirs. Like, the SmackDown filler segments were just filler, and they were just like, okay, can we get to the main stuff, please?
Yeah.
But this Raw stuff actually, like, you know, people gave a shit about.
Yeah, I agree. To get it started here, the first match on the card, well, we have a dark match. Val Venus beat Matt Hardy on the Heat.
On Heat, yeah.
I didn't watch it.
I watched it when it happened.
Was it good?
It was okay. I mean, they weren't really doing anything with Val, and Matt was still being punished for wanting to move over to Raw with Lita.
Yeah.
Like, that was an actual thing. Bruce Pritchard even admitted that was an actual thing.
Yeah.
Because they were with Matt on SmackDown. You know, Matt had something going, but Lita was coming back from a neck injury, and he goes, hey, I want to go over to Raw with Lita. And Bruce said to him, he goes, we have nothing for you. He goes, it doesn't matter. I want to be with my girlfriend. Either that or move her to SmackDown. And he's like, well, we can't move her to SmackDown. There's no women's title. Like, she's got to stay on Raw.
Yeah.
Especially if she wants to wrestle. Well, then I need to be with her. And Bruce is like, I guarantee you, you're doing jobs if you move over to Raw. Like, we're going to have nothing, but you're not getting a push. You stay on SmackDown, you're getting pushed. You move to Raw, you're doing jobs. But Matt decided, you know, I got to go with my girl. So basically, Matt was being punished for, you know, wanting to move over to Raw. I mean, it sucks here, too, because they weren't doing – Val hadn't won a match. You know, on I mean, he's won like a couple of Heat matches if you were facing jobbers or whatever. But he had won like a high-profile match since he became Val Venus again in June of 03. So he hadn't won anything meaningful in like a fucking year. Yeah, just because they're pissed off at Matt Hardy because Matt wanted to stay loyal to his girlfriend.
And isn't this around the time that a young man from Canada was...
That would be a few months later.
Okay.
So we're not there yet. But yeah, so like the whole thing...
That was when Matt was hurt, right?
And yeah.
They were fucking...
When Matt got hurt. Yeah. It was actually like 3 weeks after Edge's wedding. Edge got married.
Oh, wow.
Legend has it is that Edge and Lita were actually texting one another as Edge was, you know, walking down the aisle.
Who knows? Good guy. This is why I'm a Christian fan.
Yeah.
So first match on the card, something different here. And Stevie, I'm going to start with you for this. Shelton Benjamin and Ric Flair. How did you feel about the style clash in this match? And how do you think that the two complemented each other?
I think their wrestling abilities complemented each other quite well. They had a good match. And I found it very interesting watching it.
Absolutely. Eric, what are your thoughts on this one? Ric Flair and Shelton, this is two very different gentlemen in a 10-minute match. What do you think?
I thought it was a good 10-minute match, a good opener. And I like that Shelton Benjamin went over here. Too bad they didn't elevate him to the next level, but... I still like that win. It was a nice, good win for his career.
Now, Eric, do you think if there was any time to do it, that this was the time, because he was kind of red hot after beating Triple H and stuff, and then this, do you think this would have been the time to start pushing him towards a main event, or do you think he wasn't quite ready yet?
Absolutely. I was thinking about that earlier, actually. And I said, why didn't they push him even further, maybe even give him a feud with Chris Benoit and turn him heel or something. And that would have been a great match. That would have been a great feud, I think.
Absolutely.
But they gave the push to Randy Orton, so.
That's true. What did you think of this, Doug?
I thought it was a decent match. I mean, Flair, you could tell that Flair was, like, winding down. Like, the car was running the brakes on the car weren't working that well.
Yeah.
Okay. But Shelton did a good job. And Flair, because again, you know, Flair picked and chose who he jobbed to, you know, back then.
Yeah, he had that right.
Deservedly so. Well, yeah. But like a lot of the times, like the legends, you know, when they come in, it's like, okay, well, you got to do a job. And there were certain guys Flair refused a job to. Like Hurricane was one of them. Like back in 2003, they were mildly pushing Hurricane.
Yeah.
And it came one of the times where like he was going to work with Flair, and Flair was wrestling in street clothes. And it's like, okay, well, Hurricane's going to beat him. Flair won. And it's like there was actually heat on Flair, not necessarily from the office, but from the boys. They're like, a young guy, and he's from your home state. Why can't you push him? And it's because Flair didn't like the Hurricane character and said, look, if you're putting me in the ring with this guy, I'm going over. I mean, so like Flair could be, this might not be a good word, but I mean, his daughter is the same way. Flair could be selfish.
Yeah, I mean, but when you get to that, right, I mean, Steve Austin did the same thing. He's a big fucking star. He's Ric Flair. The guys, I would say Rolling Stones are going to act differently than the opening band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just the way it is. You got a hierarchy on the card. And Ric Flair is one of the greatest to ever do it. He can pick or choose at some point. I'm not saying if it's right, you know, morally or not. We're fans. We don't know the business like that. But, a lot of big stars do it. He's not the only one, obviously.
No. I mean, but, like, when Hacksaw Jim Duggan came back in 2006, they didn't put him against Umaga and Duggan say, all right, tough guy, I'm going over this big Samoan guy. No, he took the spot, did a two-minute job like he was supposed to fucking do.
Yeah.
And that was it. Or, like, you know, when he jobbed to Paul Burchill for Paul Burchill's, I don't know if it was his debut or somewhere when they were going to start pushing him. And he did a, 90-second job to Paul Burchill, of all fucking people. But when he was basically told, Hack, you got to get these younger guys over, yes, sir.
Well, yeah, but that's the only way Hack's getting the job. Hack's not, I love Hack's on Jim Duggan, but it's not like he's coming on and boosting Raw's ratings. They need Ric Flair to come on even still sometimes to help the ratings. But Ric Flair's a big name. People come to watch him.
Yeah, I mean, they have to let him nap from noon to 3 in order to get him to stay up that late. But.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, that he's kind of a diva, but I'm saying it makes sense.
I mean, it does to a point. I mean, here he took a shitty top rope clothesline.
Yeah.
But he did the job for Shelton.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Cena didn't like guys. Cena worked shitty with Michael Tarver because he didn't like him in Nexus. And then he got Michael Tarver kicked out the door. He didn't want to do shit with Alex Riley. I mean, and he's the nicest guy in the world. To me, when you're a star, you get to be a little bougie. But Ric Flair and Shelton Benjamin, it seemed like he put his best foot forward. Besides the clothesline, which was kind of a two-way street, and I do see what you're saying, the way Shelton angled a little bit. That was a weird finish. This pay-per-view had a couple weird finishes. But I felt like Flair was putting his best foot forward to make Shelton look good.
Yeah.
This whole match felt like it was Shelton looking
good. Right, and I agree with that. I mean, also, too, like, a lot of guys, like, when you do the top row clotheslines, like, Hawk did a really good top row clothesline, obviously, you know, Legion of Doom. Kane's top row clothesline basically was just him hitting people with his right hand coming off the top row. Like, his clothesline, like, he would sometimes use it to finish matches, but sometimes it looked really shitty.
Yeah.
The Barbarian had a real good top row clothesline because he kind of did what Hawk did. And, would nail guys, like, coming, like, straight forward.
Yeah.
Shelton was kind of just like, it was almost like a reverse bulldog type thing.
I think the right guy won here. Let's give it ratings. I'll go first. I'm going to give this a solid 7.
I'll agree, 7.
Eric?
7.
Stevie?
I'd say 7.
All right, so we're all going 7. Decent opener.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was a great opener to the show. Jonathan Coachman now with Garrison Cade.
Oh, I mean, Cade didn't come out to the ring with him.
But he showed up later and
yeah.
helped him out.
Yeah.
I'm still going to say Whistler because it says that on the thing.
Okay.
Jonathan Coachman with Garrison Cade against Tajiri. Garrison Cade, a Shawn Michaels trainee.
Yeah.
A tag team with Trevor Murdoch. Never really got...
Well, this was before the Trevor Murdoch thing.
No, before Lance Cade and all that. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a question about him. With everything, he looked like a blue chipper. He had the look. I don't remember his promos too much. What didn't work about Cade? Whether it's Garrison or Lance or whatever the
hell. A lot of, and you know, some people might say, and especially around this time, he was a fucking klutz. Like, it was actually not that long after the, like, June or something like that. He was actually working, like, hurt a lot. Like, he had two bad knees.
Yeah.
And he wore a knee brace. And on an episode of Heat or something like that, and this was shortly after they were going to start burying Shelton because they wouldn't give him the Intercontinental title, he's working a match with Cade, and Shelton goes to hit him. Cade didn't want to get hit in the face. So he put his knee up. Well, he put up the wrong, because they told him, they said, look, if you're going to put your knees up or whatever, you can only wear one brace. Because if Shelton hits the knee brace, he's going to break his hand. So he only had one brace on, and he was supposed to put the knee up that didn't have the brace on. Yeah. He put up the wrong fucking knee. Shelton broke his hand.
Really?
Yeah. Around this time, like in the ring,
he was still very green.
He's still very green. He was the biggest dumb fuck in the history of dumb fucks. And like, to be honest with you, I was never really impressed with him.
I mean, the tag team with
the Murdoch thing was okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought Trevor Murdoch should have been the star. Because he was ruggedly.
By the way, R.I.P. gone too soon.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, all due respect to Lance Cade, and you know, it was a shame of what happened to him.
Yes.
And it's a shame of how he left the company.
Yes.
But he just, I never got it. I never saw it because he had all the potential in the world. It just, potential couldn't buy the groceries.
And like your buddy Bruce always says, that damn bell had to ring, right?
Yeah.
he was a little clutchy, a little awkward now that I think about it watching him.
Yeah.
Do his thing. I mean, he was fine here because he was just helping Coachman. Coachman versus Tajiri. Now that we talked about...
If Taz listens to this episode, he's going to want to come here and choke you out.
Why? Tajiri's way more talented than he's ever been.
No, I was just going to say, saying that Taz... You compared Taz to Coach.
Oh. Well, I'm not going to say Coach is more talented. I'm sorry, Taz. Even though I just kind of bashed him again, but... Coachman, he's 4 foot tall. He'll be okay. Jonathan Coachman against Tajiri. What do you feel about this, Eric? Do you think Coach had any business being here, or did you find it entertaining?
I didn't find this match entertaining at all. I thought it was just to be there. I didn't think there was a point to having this match. It was, what, like 5 minutes? I didn't care for this match, is what I'm trying to say.
So you weren't a fan of it?
No.
All right. What did you think, Stevie?
I wasn't a fan of it either. I mean, I kind of thought that the Coachman had no business in the ring to begin with. So I wasn't really a fan of it.
Damn. You guys weren't feeling it, huh? What did you think, Doug?
All right. I'm going to disagree to try to liven this show up a little bit because everybody sounds like they just woke up out of bed. But this match actually wasn't bad. And here's the thing. Coach was in the ring because Coach knew how to get heat.
And he bumped pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah. Coach knew how to get heat. And I'm not just talking about the fact that he hosted heat. Coach was, you know, Coach could be a dick. Now, he seems like, actually, like now, seems like the nicest guy in the world.
But he had a punchable face.
He had a punchable face, and he knew how to get people pissed off at him. So whether or not, you know, he belonged in the ring, he was in the ring because he could get that heat. He knew how to get people to hate him.
And then you got a baby face like Tajiri, who's kind of in a weird position because obviously his English isn't that great. But he kind of like screamed.
Well, by the way, 3 weeks earlier was a heel.
Was a heel, yeah. And a damn good one. But he's a face here. And the whole miss to the eye. See, I really enjoyed this match because I thought Tajiri was hilarious. And I thought the whole him spraying him in the face and the way Coach was, segment itself.
Yeah, that segment on Raw, the initiation, which Garrison Cade led, by the way.
Yeah.
If you watch the fucking...
Yeah, it was his idea.
If you watch the thing, Garrison Cade and Rob Conway told Tajiri, miss the next guy that comes walking through that door. And Sylvain Grenier kind of said it too, but it was in French. And Coach happened to be the guy walking through the door. And, so Garrison Cade, so it really, it made no sense for Garrison Cade to be the one to help Coach win when he's the one that told Tajiri to miss Coach in the face in the first place.
Well, I think that's what it was trying to make sense of. Because this seemed like the only takeaway I got from that is like, oh, they're going to try to do something with Cade in the future, even though obviously they don't do it. But it seemed like that's all, because why do you need Coachman to win? You don't need him to look strong over Tajiri.
I mean, Cade did beat Tajiri the next night.
Okay.
And then,
so there you go.
And then, like, they were going to do stuff with him, but again, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He was hurt, and then they really wanted to take him off TV once he fucked things up with Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah. Which is understandable. But I really enjoyed Tajiri here, and just watching him wrestle, he's one of those guys I can watch any Tajiri match and enjoy.
Yeah,
I like Tajiri. I like watching him wrestle. So I'm actually going to go ahead and give this match a 6 for what it was.
I'll give it a 4. Sorry, Doug.
I'm going to give it a 5.
I'll give it a 5.
Okay. So 5s all around. Or no, 2 5s, a 4 and a 6.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now let's move on to one of the better storylines of this thing. Trish Stratus, who is in Christian's corner against Chris Jericho in a handicap match. So not in his corner. She's teaming with him. My bad. 2-on-1. Trish and Christian against Chris Jericho. Obviously, I mean, we all watched WrestleMania. We did the show. We saw what happened. We saw the great betrayal of Trish for Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho's on the babyface run. Christian's the ultimate douchebag heel, which, Doug, how sucky is it that Christian got hurt around this time? Because that rocket ship just seemed that, like, he was one of the guys watching this. Like, oh, my God, he's going to be a big deal.
Here's the thing. I still contest. I mean, you told me I was a moron. But I still contest that he would have been the one facing Benoit at Bad Blood, not Kane.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, he seemed like he was geared for a title shot.
Yeah.
He should have got a title shot. He's another one to think Benjamin.
So.
I just never got the push.
He was loaded at the time. With young potential.
The Raw roster was definitely loaded. I mean, the SmackDown roster was around this time here. There was no way in hell SmackDown. I mean, yes, SmackDown would become the A show.
Yeah. Well, SmackDown was the A show 2002, 2003. And then Raw kind of took 2004 back with the Benoit thing and everything. And Randy Orton's rise to success and, you know, Kane becoming what he is.
Yeah. And then, like, Cena was starting to kind of get momentum back for SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then they moved him over to Raw.
Even now, about 2005, 2006, when he still moved over to SmackDown.
Yeah. So, but Christian, it's like the amount of potential here. And to me, this was like, this is the best Christian you're going to get if you're looking at WWE Christian. Besides the comeback.
Absolutely.
the match with Del Rio was good. The stuff with Randy was really good. But to me, besides TNA Christian, which I think is the best Christian, and I mean, obviously the tag team stuff with Edge, but for a singles run, this was, like, really good.
Yeah.
It was better than the fucking, what is it, the Un-Americans?
Right. And the funny thing about this is I think they split him. Well, first of all, if he had not gotten hurt, him and Trish, like, they wouldn't have had to have a reason to split them up.
No, and I think they could have been, like, a power couple.
Yeah. Especially when won the women's title.
Yeah. She would have won the women's title, and then you find a way to give him the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Would have been money.
Exactly. I mean, I think what would have happened is we would have had, if he had not been hurt, we would have gotten, Shelton would have gone over on Randy, and we would have gotten Christian and Shelton for the Intercontinental title already with Christian coming out of there.
Yeah, probably. And Chris Jericho was serviceable. I mean, babyface Chris Jericho isn't my favorite version of him, especially around this time. And the fact that he was using the running into Guri as a finish, it was kind of weird to me. But, I mean, he was okay. Yeah. He was serviceable in the role.
Jericho's funny no matter what he is.
Yeah. And he was funny here because she was the trash bag hoe.
Yeah. I think it was also on that highlight reel that they showed. I mean, they didn't show it in the clip, but they showed it where he pulled the clip of her barking like a dog for Vince.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Chris Jericho no matter what role he's in.
Yeah, heel or face.
Same.
What were your thoughts on this one, Eric?
I thought this was a solid handicap match. Well, I mean, you got Chris Jericho, you got Christian, two Hall of Famers right there. Just guys, Hall of Famers. It was a good solid handicap match for the time they were given. I liked it.
Absolutely. What did you think, Stevie?
I thought it was a solid match. I really liked it. It was a good one.
Absolutely. I mean, we kind of said what we thought, but what on the match itself, Christian and Jericho obviously have impeccable chemistry.
Though. Yeah.
What did you think of this one and Trish's dynamic? Because it seemed like she worked well with those two, too. Like,
I think it's that Canadian connection, to be honest with you.
Yeah, all three felt very comfortable.
Yeah. And plus, they've known each other for... And, you know, Trish has been in since 2000, so she's known both guys since then.
Yep.
I think they're all friendly with each other. Like, that Canadian connection. Like, Canadians, unless they're playing hockey, seem to all get along real well. Now, when they're playing hockey against one another, they're going to fucking hit each other with sticks and shit. Like,
this is a Canadian heavy show. No, sorry, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. But, like, yeah, that, like, Canadian connection, and you know, when you find somebody that you have, like, chemistry with and you can talk to, like, outside of, like, you know, business and all that and talk about, like, certain things or whatever, because I think all of them actually have stuff in common.
Yeah.
Trish actually is a huge hockey fan. As is Christian, Jericho's father was a hockey player.
And Jericho.
Okay, and yeah, Jericho's obviously a hockey fan too. I mean, Christian even talked about how when he did Renee Paquette's podcast a couple months ago after he debuted for AEW, talked about how he was watching the NHL app or something the night before Revolution. And, you know, Renee's also Canadian, and she goes, you got the password? You got the login for that? And he's like, yes, but I'll give you the login. He goes, personally, I think you can afford it, but I'll give you the login.
Yeah, it's a two-income household.
Yeah.
She should be fine. Yeah, no, Christian's a man. All right, let's give this a rating.
I'm giving it an 8.
7.5.
Stevie?
Oh, I'll give it an 8.
I'm actually going to go 8, too. I really enjoyed the action here. It went about 11 minutes. Wasn't too long, but it was really good. And it really... After the heartbreaker that Jericho suffered at WrestleMania, it was nice to see him do something here, get a little comeuppance.
Okay, so you have basically, it's almost like a three-match card, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could say four with Edge and Kane, but Edge and Kane was just like kind of just thrown together. But this match, I mean, this
yeah,
was one of the people wanted to watch this show.
I mean, this, Randy and Cack and Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, that's the three-match card right there.
Yeah.
I will argue that the filler is good, though. There's some of the filler. I mean, Shelton and Rick,
I'm still
put on a show.
I mean, I will still say that Raw had better filler on their pay-per-views than SmackDown did.
And we're going to get into one of those filler matches next. But before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday after AEW, not NXT, because NXT is not on Wednesdays anymore, Doug. After AEW on Wednesday.
Did I fuck that up last week?
I don't know. I was basically making sure I didn't. But and Fridays after SmackDown. And make sure to listen to us every Friday at 6:30 p.m. for Unscripted Wrestling, except for next Friday. Next weekend, we will not be doing much whatsoever because we're taking the week off. We got shit to do. Mindy will be...
And there's birthdays coming up. I mean, we might as well just say, my birthday's next Friday.
Happy birthday to Stevie and
thanks.
Yeah. We got birthdays next week. The week's going to be...
Birthday weekend.
It's Dougie's birthday.
And Stevie's birthday's next Saturday.
And Stevie.
Stevie on the shoulder.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, guys.
So that's exciting. So, yeah, so we got stuff to do. But this weekend, we do have a lot going on. So tonight, obviously, I mean, hopefully you're already here, so I'm not going to tell you to listen to this because you better fucking be here. We're doing Backlash tonight. Tomorrow we're going to be doing the pre-fight talk analysis, whatever the hell, we're going to be doing all of it about Jake Paul and Funky Ben Askren's boxing fight. This fight has taken the world by storm. There's a lot of hype behind it. It's going to be one of the biggest pay-per-view events of the year. It's going to, me and Eric are going to be hosting this thing tomorrow. Doug's going to be on. So we're excited to talk about that. Are you excited, Eric?
Yes, I am.
This is going to be a big deal. Jake Paul's been running his mouth. I even put a little money on Ben, so we'll see if Ben can get the job done. Former Bellator and 1F championship champion. So he's a decorated athlete versus a YouTuber. We're going to see what happens. I'm excited to talk about it.
And his brother was on WrestleMania last week.
Logan Paul was at WrestleMania, his brother, and he got stunned for his troubles.
Thank God.
Exactly.
And hopefully, well, I'm not going to.
Hopefully his brother gets the same fate.
Yeah.
We'll Kevin talk. Owens ain't going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I haven't seen how Ben Askren hits a stutter, but well, he might be able to do it. He took a picture with Ric Flair on his Instagram. Yeah, I guess Ric Flair's at the fight.
Flair wants camera time no matter where he goes.
Hey, fuck it.
Well,
Chuck Liddell, it was him, Chuck Liddell, and Ben Askren.
Chuck Liddell, you do not want to fuck with Chuck Liddell.
He's a beast. I love that guy.
That would actually be a good fight.
Dice, man.
Askren and Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell would be. Well, actually, it would be a hard one. Two different generations. Scaredy Cats on Sunday. We're going to be doing Final Destination 3, me and my sister. We're going to be tearing that up, so I'm excited. And that's about it. Let's get into the next match.
Yep.
Wait for anyone to cut me off.
Start talking, and then we'll cut you off.
Yeah. Because I'm going to say the match, and that's like, oh, what about this? Victoria against Lita. Stevie, I'm going to start with you. What do you think? These are two legitimate... I mean, this isn't the women's revolution. Obviously, this is way before that. But you got two legitimate women athletes in there doing the thing for the title. What's your thoughts?
I kind of thought they were showing off some great athleticism, and I thought the match was very intriguing to watch. So it was very interesting to have those two wrestle each other.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I liked how these two were together. That's why because I guess you could call this filler, but I thought these two ladies really tried their best for the time they were given. And the fact that they gave 8 minutes was sweet.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Doug?
I mean, I thought it was a decent match. I mean, the crowd really wasn't into it, but, you know, the crowd was, you know, waiting for the two big matches. But I thought both ladies did a good job. I mean, and they still had a lot more in the, you know, they still had a lot more to get out of Victoria.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked her better as a heel.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy this dynamic. What did you think of this one, Eric?
I thought it was decent. I thought it should have gotten enough more time, but they had to have the other two matches that were bigger, unfortunately, than this match. So.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it was solid.
You're not going to outdraw Hurricane and Rosie against Lavers and Stotts. That's got to get top billing.
Yeah.
My only complaint was, and I love Gail Kim. I'm probably the biggest Gail Kim fan on this show. But her and Molly's attack after felt a little lackluster. Didn't really mean much.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Eugene locker room incident?
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we should.
That was funny as hell.
It was funny.
It was hilarious.
But creepy, too.
Imagine if they tried that today.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting a call anytime soon.
No, you're not Eugene. But,
yeah, you're right. He's
it was funny, creepy.
It was really funny when William's stopping him, and he's like, all right, I'm so sorry. Then he looks at Gail, he's like, oh. She's like, get up! Like, oh, shit. He runs away.
Gail is gorgeous.
I'm telling you that right now.
I'm
blind. He did say that. Yeah, that was fun. I love those two together. I thought William
Eugene and Regal? Yeah.
He made the Eugene character.
Yeah, and then, like, when they split it, obviously they split them up because Eugene was hurt. But... like, they should have found a way for the two of them to kind of get back together.
Because that was, like, the heart of Raw at the time. You know? Like, and you always felt bad for Regal when he had to try, like, they tried to make him go against Eugene.
Yeah.
But he never wanted to because he really, like, he started to care about him. That was a good, genuine story they were cooking up.
Yeah. Like, and then when Eugene came back in 05, they really didn't have the steam behind the character anymore, even though they tried to put Christy Hemme with him.
Yeah.
And trust me, as hot as she was, it wasn't working. I'm not saying that William Regal is better looking than Christy Hemme.
Yes, you are. That's exactly what you're saying.
We met her. Didn't we, Doug? I stabbed a photo of her.
Yeah, I didn't meet her. You got a chance. You met her because you had to meet somebody. You wanted to meet somebody since Sabu no-showed the event.
Yeah, so, and she was the perfect girl to me. I still have that photo somewhere.
Not for being you weren't missing much.
Yeah. Well, the reason why he showed the event that Eric and I were at is because he was too busy smoking pot.
Hey.
Yes.
I don't smoke.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Sabu.
Oh, duh, yeah.
Believe it or not, I was not insulting Eric this time around.
Oh, it's hard. You're like the boy that caught in the Randy Orton versus Cactus Jack. That was a funny thing. Hardcore match for the Intercontinental Championship. Evolution is banned from ringside. No Batista, no Ric Flair. They're the tag champions, right?
Thank God.
They're champions.
They are until the next night on Raw.
Who beat them?
Edge and Benoit.
Good friends of Benoit.
Good people.
Good. Well, one of them is. Well.
The jury's out. Oh, my God. Our Instagram fans can be filled with hate. With hate comments.
Follow the Instagram, too.
That's oh, yeah, that's right.
Unscripted Everything Podcast. Or Unscripted Everything Pod on Instagram. Check that out. Now, let's get into one of the greatest hardcore matches of all time. Randy Orton and Cactus Jack, what are your thoughts, Doug? This is legendary.
Oh, my God. This man, I was so happy to watch this again last night. Because this match was great. Randy Orton has even gone on record and said, without Mick Foley, Randy Orton would not be here.
Yeah, you said that on the Stone Cold thing, right?
Yeah. And because Mick Foley was not necessarily in the best shape around this time, but Mick Foley also knew how important it was to get Randy Orton over. Yeah. And Randy Orton cemented his status at that time with this win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the best feud on television at the time. The WrestleMania match was a little lackluster. We talked about that. This blew it out the fucking water.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, my God. It was the perfect pinnacle. You can't even really – I mean, the only damage that this did was it ruined Randy's babyface push. Because by the time they had him babyface, said, okay, you're going to beat Benoit, the fans didn't want to cheer for him because they're like, we're used to him being an unrelentless scumbag. Because that's the Randy that we know. The guy that spits in Cactus's face and, you know, kicks old people. Like,
yeah, the legend killer.
Yeah.
Why would we cheer a legend killer? Because we're supposed to cheer the legends when they're here.
Yeah. Why are we going to cheer the guy that's kicking their asses? So that was the only thing I think that did not benefit from this. But, I mean, he's a better heel anyway, so that's not really.
Oh,
I mean,
he hates being a babyface.
Yeah. Randy Orton,
I hate him as a babyface.
He's okay in spot. To me, it seems like he doesn't care when he's a babyface. I like him better as a heel because he gets to really get in.
What's funny is, and Randy Orton's not necessarily somebody that really likes to do interviews either. And when they had him on the bump last week before WrestleMania Sunday, he was being a smartass, which he's really good at. And he said, he goes, you know, I've been trying to get on the bump for the longest time. I've always wanted to be on here. Kayla, I don't know what your problem is with me. And the other guys were actually taking him seriously. And they're like, Kayla, what are you doing? I mean, this man, he's always wanted to be on the bump. And Randy says to the one guy, he goes, are you guys really that stupid? You can't tell when I'm being sarcastic. He actually said on the show, he goes, I hate this shit. He gives zero fucks.
I love Randy Orton.
I love him for that.
He's an absolute dick, but that's why I like him. This match was fantastic. Cactus, you can tell the number one objective on Cactus's mind was to make Randy Orton look like a star.
Yeah.
And he did. He beat the hell out of Orton. And it felt like he did get some fight. Because the one thing you can say about this feud is that it's a little lopsided. Like, Randy looks strong the whole time.
Yeah.
Cactus really doesn't. But you still get the comeuppance here a little bit by Cactus doing all this stuff, putting Randy in the thumbtacks. How crazy is that visual?
Oh, my God. And Orton's face.
Yeah, it was covered in blood.
Yeah.
And
he showed that well.
Yeah, this is flowing. The only other critique I would say is we didn't need the Bischoff segment in the middle. Him telling, you know, the wire bat thing and it going on fire. Didn't need that, but it doesn't really take away from it either. So I didn't hate it. The match itself is just a flawless execution in hardcore wrestling. It's ECW and all that stuff done right. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think, Stevie?
I thought it was like one of those classic hardcore matches that was really awesome to watch, you know, especially having Cactus Jack in there made it very interesting.
Absolutely. Eric?
I thought it was a great match. Both guys put on the show. If it wasn't for the triple threat, probably be the main event.
Yeah, it very well could have been. Yeah, I agree. Let's give ratings. Doug, what do you think?
9.
I'm going 10. I love this match. Eric?
I'm going 9.5.
Okay. Stevie?
I'll give it a 10.
There we go. Me and Stevie going 10s. We got a 9.5 and a 9. Check this one out, folks. If you're gonna, this is the picture I put of this match on Instagram. Check this one out. If you want to see some good hardcore, check this out. Great match. Yeah. Next up, another piece of filler, but, you know, it's there. You got La Resistance and Hurricane and Rosie in a 5-minute match. I like Hurricane and Rosie. You like them. You put them as one of your most underrated tag teams.
Yeah.
La Resistance was what they were. They were a heat magnet. Okay in the ring, a little green, but what do you think?
This match was just basically used, I think, to kind of get Eugene out there because Eugene had an obsession with the Quebec flag.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, a couple weeks after this, JR asked Eugene, he goes, Eugene, what is your obsession with the – or King may have even asked it, but they're like Eugene, what is your obsession with the Quebec flag? And Eugene just goes, it blue. And JR goes, blue your favorite color, Eugene? He goes, yeah. He goes, that a boy.
JR and King were phenomenal around this time, too.
Yeah.
If King was a heel, but this is around the time where he was starting to not give a shit that much about heel and babyface, and he was just, like, him and JR were friends.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
Yeah, because he stuck up for JR anytime somebody picked on JR.
Yeah. So, and that dynamic was awesome. And I think it was in the Lita and Victoria match when he was, like, admiring their upper half a little too much.
Yeah.
And then JR's like, have you never seen a woman's breast before? And
yeah.
He starts yelling at him. And,
yeah, and then, like, my favorite line that King would always say to JR is like, oh, JR, if Lady Godiva rode by, you'd notice the horse. I mean, for anybody that doesn't get the reference, Lady Godiva is famous for riding a horse naked.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That is funny. Eric, what did you think of this tag match?
I thought it was just all right match. It was nothing special. It's probably a bathroom break match.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Stevie?
To me, it wasn't really a great match. It wasn't even interesting in watching. You know?
It was over before you blinked.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick.
Yeah, pretty much.
The match on Heat lasted longer than this.
That's true. Give it a rating, Doug.
5.
Eric?
2.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3, too. Actually, I give it a 4.
Huh?
Give it a 4. All right.
2, 3, 4, 5.
We're counting over here. Yes, sir. Edge and Kane. This is the big comeback of Edge. You had said this fell flat for you, Doug. One of the main gimmicks here is that he's got the cast and he's going to use it to his advantage. And that's pretty much the narrative of this match, right? He can use the cast. And he does.
Well, he's not supposed to use the cast.
He's not supposed to. It's banned by Johnny Nitro. How green was John Morrison back then?
Oh,
just
my.
On the microphone.
He was greener than goose shit.
And I love that, man.
Yeah.
But he was greener than goose shit. Why did this fall flat for you, besides it only being 6 minutes?
It's just, they didn't really give me a reason to care. I mean, basically, you knew Edge was going to win because they weren't going to have him lose his first match back. And it's just, Kane, I really don't think they knew what to do with Kane.
But it felt like such a middle finger to Kane, who had been kind of, like, the unmasking and everything after that was amazing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they do the thing where he jobs to Undertaker WrestleMania. He has to do this for Edge. Then he has to impregnate Lita.
Yeah. The match with Benoit Bad Blood is a hidden treasure, though. That's a good match.
Yeah, I've heard that it's actually a good match. I mean, at least he was able to make the Matt Hardy stuff from he turned chicken shit into chicken salad.
Yeah.
So, like, he was able to do that. But here, it's just like, there was no reason to care.
Exactly.
What did you think of this one, Eric?
I agree with Doug. It just didn't do anything for me. You could have seen a better match between these two if it was longer. There's no story. There's no nothing to it.
Right. Stevie?
I totally agree. There is, like, no story to it. It wasn't even interesting in watching, so I would have to agree.
Yeah, I don't think the cast stuff was strong enough to drive the whole match.
No.
I'm gonna give this...
it was stupid.
Yeah. You give it a 3. I'm giving it a 2.
I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
I'll probably give it.
I didn't think
it
was worse than
a
tag team match, so.
Yeah.
What'd you
I'll give
say,
it a
Steve?
2.
A 2.
I'll give it a 2. Yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah, I mean this is okay, but let's get to the meat and potatoes, the main event, a big deal here. Crowd favorite Shawn Michaels. I forgot how he got fucking scorched during. I know whenever he went to Canada, it was bad, but Edmonton chewed him up here.
Now, you notice how, now I don't know how like they actually did Backlash on the old WWE Network, but if you notice here, like if you ever own the DVD, which we did, you know that they always played the footage of Benoit being honored in Canada. You know, the Chris Benoit Day, and they had the parade and all that shit.
They didn't show it here.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I forgot.
They did that and owned that network. I think they did that on the network.
Was it on the network?
I remember watching it. But I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Do we know anybody outside of the United States that could look that up for us?
No.
Okay. But yeah, like they didn't show it. Now they did. So I don't know if that's a Peacock thing or if WWE Network took that out, which I don't think, which WWE Network might have. I'm not 100% sure, but like they showed his family at the beginning.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it was sad.
They showed both his... I mean, well, first of all, he's got 3 kids, but there's one daughter who basically fell off the face of the earth because she got tired of everybody.
So it's not about her, say her name. She obviously doesn't want to.
Yeah. Well, if I say her name, I might end up getting sued. Who knows? But... Yeah, I mean, you know, Nancy was at ringside with, you know, with David and Daniel. And, you know, it was sad to see. It's definitely sad to see Nancy and Daniel at ringside.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But the match itself was flawless. To me, I do like this better than the WrestleMania match. I know we were arguing about it.
I agree with you, Daniel.
You do?
I like this one better than Mania.
We'll talk about it. What did you really enjoy about this one?
I just thought him coming home to Edmonton, I just thought the crowd was more into it. I thought the storyline, I just thought the wrestling was better.
Yeah, I would agree.
It just felt more better. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I feel like it was better in numerous ways. Shawn Michaels and the crowd hating him, I think, played into that.
Yeah.
And
just, people were nervous when Earl came out. That's for fucking
sure.
He
got booed. Earl got booed when he came. Everyone, if you got a cup of coffee in Montreal that day, you were getting fucking booed.
Earl rang the bell.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, I get that. But, yeah.
I mean, he didn't ring the bell. He called for the
bell. WWE knew what they were doing, though. They were trying to play with that crowd. Because when they had the ref go out and Shawn puts Benoit in the sharpshooter, and then you have fucking Earl come out.
Yeah.
The crowd's like, fuck you! Like, they're freaking out.
Yeah, and I think King was just like, oh, this is deja vu, JR! We were here before!
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Can you imagine if they screwed Benoit?
Oh, my God. But how smart is it? The booking here for Benoit was impeccable, because a Canadian hero, you have him submit Shawn Michaels in Canada with the sharpshooter. Like, if you want to get any baby face over, that's how you do it. And, yeah, it was great. My favorite part is during the sharpshooter, the way Triple H is trying to crawl in and he's hurt. And he's crawling in and Shawn looks him in the eyes and he taps. And he's just like, I can't do it. And he taps.
It was just flawless, as he said.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good man. I still like the WrestleMania 20 match better.
Who asked you? Oh, what do you think, Stevie?
I thought it was a fun match to watch. You know, he had good classic technical wrestling when watching it. So I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. And but you did like this one, Doug?
Yeah.
How much? What's your rating?
I give it an 8.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
I'll give it a 10 since I think the main one 10, so I have to give it a 10.
Absolutely, Stevie.
I'll give it a 10.
I'm gonna give it a 10 too. 3 10s and an 8. And now let's go around. We're gonna give final thoughts about the pay per view itself. I'll go first. I thought this was a really great pay per view. Especially for a Backlash, I think it's one of the better ones. I think we had some feuds that still meant something. I thought the triple threat, even though you can say that Shawn Michaels was kind of Daniel Bryan there a little bit, he didn't need to be in the rematch maybe, but I still really enjoyed it, and I thought he added a lot, especially because it was Canada. So Randy Orton and Cactus Jack was flawless. This was flawless. Chris Jericho, Christian, and Trish Stratus was really good. So I'm going to give this whole thing an 8 out of 10. Eric, final thoughts on your rating?
I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. Even though it was a 3-match card, the other matches didn't bore me to death like some cards do. So I'll give it a solid 8, too.
All right, Stevie, what'd you think?
I thought it was a very interesting, solid pay-per-view. So I'd give it a 8 out of 10.
Absolutely. All right, Doug, you're sending us home here, so I need all seriousness from you. I need a good monologue because we're ending the show on this. Your final thoughts and your rating.
Okay, so this Backlash, you said that this Backlash is one of the better ones. I think it's definitely in its like top 5, maybe top 3. And
especially the early ones.
Yeah. This show had some really good matches on there. Had some decent filler.
Yeah.
The triple threat match was great. Obviously, the hardcore match was epic. The handicap match was good. Yeah. So this pay-per-view, basically, Raw did their pay-per-views right in 2004. In 2003, I think Raw-branded pay-per-view sucked, especially ones that Preparation H came out on top of. But, you know, when he let other people
share,
wasn't in there. He did fine. But this pay-per-view was really, really good. I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Right. Everyone, thank you. And Eric, I'm going to be seeing you tomorrow.
Is that? Yep. We'll figure out the time. Probably like 5 or 6.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Stevie, thanks for coming on. Feel better, bud. Keep getting rest.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Happy birthday again.
Happy birthday,
thank
sir.
You.
Enjoy your birthday.
I mean, we got to say it again.
Thanks.
Next thing.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll see y'all next week.
Yep. See you in 2 weeks for the intro. And see you tomorrow, too.